Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, you Health Renaissance people. Okay, we're going to get into programming your mind. Now, this was one of the talks that was wiped out because we talked about certain injectable products that you can't speak about in this non-scientific, politically motivated, industrial, military complex controlling ourselves. So we're going to just change this. Programming your mind, the evolution of healthcare. Now, this will be on the Dr. BVIP and Extreme Health Academy as well. Okay, let's do a new healthcare model. And just imagine this. Instead of going to doctor to have them come up with a diagnosis, that means that, you know, two people are agreeing not to know what the heck is going on with your system. There's an innate intelligence in your body, and this is fact. And then two, health is the natural state of the body. That means that these diseases are adaptive physiologic responses. Now, all therapies must be in harmony with the functions of the body, and that just makes sense. You want to support a fever. You want to support digestion. And there are certain injectables. Now, I can't talk about this, but let's just say you had a product that went through very minimal safety testing, never placebo-controlled trial, or the majority of them, no placebo-controlled trials, which is the gold standard. They're forced on you, so you have to get these to go to school or work or things like that. And there's no liability on this product. And so that religion, because it's not based in science, okay, will be stopped. Now, medical schools won't accept funding from the pharmaceutical industry. All healthcare research will be independent. This means the pharmaceutical industry would have to hire independent researchers. And the pharmaceutical industry would be financially and morally responsible for their products. So if somebody dies from Vioxx, like more people than the Vietnam War, then you'd be able to prosecute them. That way there'll be more incentive to have a safer product. Now, if you know this, okay, there's a change in belief systems. And this is with everything in the world. There's always a discovery, an excitement, and then sometimes there can be a decline when you find out that the rigidity of thinking is interrupting the thought process. So imagine if, you know, you knew that that drugs and chemicals to alter your physiology, call them patent chemicals, they're the most amazing thing in the world. Except when you find out they have a lot of side effects, that might not be good. So you might lose your belief system of it. Now, these numbers are from 2001. So you can imagine they're quite a worse area now. But it's interesting. Lucian Leap, Harvard professor researcher, conducted a comprehensive study of medical errors in the United States, and he estimated that 1 million patients are injured by errors during hospital treatments every year. That's 120,000 die as a result. Now think that. There's only 300 million people, so that's a 1 in 300 chance that you're going to get injured during a hospital stay. Iatrogenic deaths that caused by the medical system, 783,000 a year. And remember, these numbers are 20 years old. Heart disease, cancer, all in the 600,000s. So what are we going to do? Let's look at this. Now, if you take a chemical to lower your blood pressure, because it's all chemical-based, okay, are they fixing the stressors that is causing your body to adapt to that higher pressure state? No. Or are they just they're just causing you to take a chemical to lower your blood pressure so this way you can okay, this is what drives me crazy. Okay, figure your body is self-healing and self-regulating. That's a fact. Okay, if your blood pressure is going high, what is broken? Where's the intelligence behind this? There isn't any. When the doctor says, yes, I know what's right for you, okay, I'm going to give you a chemical to lower your physiology. This way, when I read it, your blood pressure will be lower. And you know, people can ask, does that make me healthier? Does that prevent disease? well, we don't have any data on it, but here, take this drug. No, and we look at the University of Alabama that said, if you're taking a blood pressure drug, every drug that you take, your risk of stroke goes up by about a third. And people are taking four or five of these. And it's interesting. People who are on three or more medications were at a 248% higher risk than those with normal blood pressure. And we know cholesterol-lowering drugs stimulate heart failure. And this is huge. Dr. Batman Gunji, Water Cures, Drugs Kill, brilliant book. And this guy did not only research, but it was incredible, where he was in prison after the Shah of Iran was deposed. And he now realized, and he is a medical doctor, medical doctors and all other doctors who hold to outdated, ignorant paradigm of disease coming from germs, bad luck or bad genes, will be stunned when they realize what is ahead. This is a quote from Dr. Batman Gunji. All of a sudden, they will feel naked. They will see the many years of learning and memorizing scientific jargons and all the statistical analysis for justification of the treatment protocols using toxic chemicals and invasive procedures, and the price structure attached to these acquired skills is declared obsolete. That's it, man. The new paradigm is health is the natural state of your body. The power that made the body heals the body, and you're more energy than matter. If you look at psychoneuroimmunology, okay, and this is huge, a Japanese study where these students in Japan, they were all allergic to a certain type of plant, kind of like poison ivy. And so what they did is they all rubbed it on one arm, and then they had a regular plant, one that they weren't allergic to, and they rubbed it on the other arm. Now, this was what they didn't know, is that in the people doing the research changed the leaves. So they had to actually suppress a symptom, an allergic reaction to something that they were allergic to, and they had to express an allergic reaction to something they weren't. Okay, it's like Proverbs 23-7. As man thinks, so he is. As a man thinks, so he is. Now, here's one on cancer, and this is out of the Journal of Scientific Exploration. The effect of laying on of hands on transplanted breast cancer in mice. Now, what they did, they injected these mice that with 100% fatality rate between 14 and 17 days, and then these doctors and students and a bunch of different people, okay, would hold these animals 1 hour a day for a month. And it's interesting, but not only the tumors developed a blackened area, then they were ulcerated, they imploded, they closed, and the mice lived their normal lifespans. Now, the control mice that were sent to another city died within the right time frame. So now the conclusions were, finally, we may conclude that we are apparently able to cure mammary dental carcinoma in experimental mice on demand. Which, if you can cure cancer on demand, that's a really, really good thing. I know. And then we have Dr. Emoto's human vibrational energy, thoughts, words, ideas, music. All of these affect the molecular structure of water. Now, your human body is over 70% water. Our planet is 70% water. So his messages from water is brilliant. He would literally expose water from the same source to different sound or thoughts. Like, what's the power of thought? And he would see the crystals change. Now, knowing that you're 70% water and thoughts can change the structure of water, and water is, it can hold memory, it responds to the environment. There's a ton of things. Water is the very source of life on this planet. and energy can affect it. Now, and I love Franklin's Roosevelt quote, Franklin D. Roosevelt, "Men are not prisoners of fate, but only prisoners of their own minds. The power to change your mindset will change your life," and that's the key. So since we're going to get into changing your brain, okay, just imagine if you had a spinning top and it's all black on one side and all white on the other. And so the black represents all the awful, horrible, bad, devastating, tragic. And the white represents awesome, good, wonderful, amazing, glorious. Now, nothing is 100% bad, 100% good. In our world, you can talk spirituality, you can talk gods and devils and demons, you can touch a lot of that. But I'm talking about the regular day-to-day world, that there's always going to be a good, little good and evil in almost all circumstances. As weird as that sounds, but when you look at like the Gulag Archipelago, people went to the Russian Gulag to die. They killed millions of people. I think it was like 25 million people, not in the Gulags, but in the purges. And so these people, and then you look at, you get the baker, the candlestick maker in Germany, and then all of a sudden they're working at the prison camps. Every man has good and evil in him. And it's really to change your perspective on that is the key. Now, I know it sounds weird, but one of the best stories I've had was I had this dog that chewed up my couch. And this is the first couch I got when I got out of school. I had them custom built so it would surround my fireplace. I had one of those long beach houses. Super excited for it. And I had a dog trainer, and I got this new dog from a patient, and I had a dog sitter and everything else. I went away for a conference. I came back, and the dog ate the couch. I mean, literally ate it down to the wood. And I called up my dog trainer, and I said, what do I do? I want to choke my dog out. And he said, no, the dog was upset because his pack left him. The dog was upset because I wasn't there, even though I had a dog sitter and stuff. And all of a sudden, a change in perspective from wanting to choke the dog out to feeling so guilty that I made this dog do this horrible act because I wasn't there from circumstances. And so my heart went out to the dog. So the same incidents, but a different perspective of looking at it. So you take that top, all good on one side, all bad on the other, and spin it. And then you start to see the good and the bad in both aspects. And this is hugely important when you're dealing with people. Because if you have judgments around people, you're going to put labels on those people, and it's going to put an interruption in your connection. But also we'll put labels on ourselves. Now, communication is everything. And I love Lisa M. Hayes, quote, "Be careful how you're talking to yourself because you are listening." I love that. Now, communication with others, 7% is done by the words. Voice qualities, 38%. And physiology, your body language, is about 55%. Now, just know that how your body responds to the environment. You have a thought or a feeling, and this could be good thought, bad thought, or forget the judgments. Okay, you're just thinking about stuff. You're thinking about the gardening, your dance class, the gym class, whatever, personal interactions, your friends. So with thought and feeling, what that does, that fires the neurons, that produces a chemical. It could be epinephrine, norepinephrine. It could be cortisol. It could be something joyous or something stressful. Then your body experiences, and then you have that thought and feeling. Now, it's interesting because this is the process that goes on, whether you're thinking joyous thoughts or you're in a frightful state. So you've got the thought and feeling, neurons fire, chemical production occurs, and then your body experiences it. Now, the nonviolent communication, and I cannot express it how important this is. Nonviolent communication is a method of listening beyond the words. And imagine if everyone is trying to make life more wonderful. And you might think, well, wait a second, what about the person beating the kid in the supermarket? Well, they may find that that's the best method because they don't have a lot of training and parenting to teach the kid. To teach the kid that you know, running with a knife is dangerous, even though, you know, hitting kids isn't really the best communication and it's not the best way to get kids to learn. But the nonviolent communication, Marshall Rosenberg, he's still got a ton of videos out. He left the planet a few years ago. I was blessed enough to go to a few seminars of his. And it's amazing. The basic thing, when you're talking with someone, and here's a couple of tricks from this nonviolent communication. If you're feeling frustrated, unheard, disrespected, the person you're speaking to is feeling frustrated, unheard, and disrespected. So connecting with your own feelings is a clue to connect to others. And then if you hold that everyone is trying to make life more wonderful, that means that what are their needs? What are they trying to get met? And nonviolent communication, or NVC, is divided up into four different aspects of it. And it seems that, you know, it's too simple, but it's also too complicated. Observations, feelings, needs, and request. Observe. What do you actually see and hear happen? Now, this is without judgment. So if you say you never call, really? Is it never? Is it once a week, once a month, once a year? Or the frequency that someone is calling isn't meeting your need of connection? You know what I mean? Feelings, what you are feeling. Not that person's such an asshole, or you made me feel like shit, or you made me, you know. No, your feelings, what you're feeling right now. It could be disrespected. It could be unheard. Okay, then needs, clear and concise. And like if you say, yeah, I need to feel better, I need to be happy, those are not really clear goals or needs expressed. Like I need some help. I need to understand that you've actually heard me. And then a request, okay? And you have to, if it's a request, you have to be comfortable with a no answer. And so when you look at, and this is one of the tough challenges with nonviolent communication, people only want to communicate please or thank you. So if someone says he, she is a narcissist, or he, she is picky, or shallow, or selfish, or an asshole, or wonderful, or generous, or lazy, okay, those are all judgments, and they're not. So if you look, language of domination, of kings to control, change it to language of life where we get more joy from contributing to a life of another. This is why punishment reward, just think of, you know, a kid running around in Costco or some big store. And parents, instead of saying, no, baby, I'm concerned that you're going to run over and knock something over, I want you to stand next to me, they'll yell at the child, like, you know, sit down, shut up, sit over here, you know, and it's a violent act. Okay, so, and you're always looking for the right thing and the wrong thing. That is literally the language of kings, which was a language of domination, of rightness, wrongness, instead of trying to get the needs met or connection. Now, your brain has been educated with thousands of years of training, how you are, how you have been educated to think. Now, when you judge yourself, when you're depressed or sad, do you judge yourself for being depressed? Like, I'm a failure, I'm not motivated, I'm stupid, I'm not respected. Just think about when you were a kid, what kind of education did you have? If you picked up something, if you broke something, would you be spanked for it? Would there be a violent outcome? And just think of this, giving advice, and this is hugely important. It's an assault unless you ask permission. Always ask permission. You know, like if you see someone wearing a mask, still wearing a mask, okay, go up to and ask them, would you be open to some different information or input on whatever, vaccines, medication, diet changes, whatever? Would you be open to some different information on face masking and immune system? Would you be interested? I have some different information on immune system reactions. You know, so you ask permission, but you got to be able to accept a no. Criticism, blame, judgment. And again, I'm talking about changing, reprogramming your mind based on your connection with others. Criticism and blame. When you say you never listen, they're sheeple, they're rude. My brother blames me for making him angry, you know. Listen beyond this. When you are in that zone of the nonviolent communication, you'll never hear criticism, blame, or judgment. You'll only hear please. Like when someone says, you never listen. What are they really saying? I need a connection with you, please. He's rude. She's rude. Okay? They're not meeting my need of this, or they're disrespecting me, or this. Okay? And just understand that. Now, observation, this is to observe without judgment, is the highest form of intelligence. And this is very, very hard to do, particularly in a society where you're judged whether you have a mask on or not. I mean, you know, I couldn't talk like this 3-4 years ago. To observe, and this is huge. You do not look at good, bad, right, wrong, appropriate, inappropriate. You literally are observing what you see, what you touch, what you taste, what you smell. Your inner senses, it's just facts. That's what you got to do. And then judgment. Judgment limits our connection for everyone. And feelings. Feelings are universal. And you never ask how you're feeling. Instead, because if you can understand that someone's hurt, you don't ask how they're feeling. Instead, are you feeling hurt because of what I said? Are you feeling sad because of your needing to be understood? Are you feeling angry because you're needing to be heard? Are you feeling frustrated because you're needing a connection? And when somebody says, I feel insulted when you say, okay, that means that they're not getting their needs met of a connection, or they're misunderstood. You know what I mean? So it's behind feelings, there's a need. And that's huge. And we have a number of different ways to communicate when your needs are being met. Because if you can master, now remember, we're talking about mastering emotional states and reprogramming your mind. So when you're mastering the emotional states, you're literally changing your meaning, your autonomy, connection, play, peace. I mean, there's so many universal needs that transcend cultural. Needs make no reference to any specific person doing anything. Needs are required to sustain and enrich life. It's like Manfred Beck's needs, fundamental human needs, and they talk about being, having, doing, interacting, anthropological needs like subsistence, procreation, protection. Once those needs are met, then you can go through and understand how when you're meeting your basic needs, when you have a good connection with others, and this is listening beyond the words, understanding that your mindset, and this is going to be that loving mindset, that beautiful mindset. Let's look at the brain, because your brain has this frontal lobe. And this is like if you look at obsessive compulsive behaviors, that's in the frontal lobe. If you look at anxiety and stress, that's in the frontal lobe. If you look at schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, that's all in the frontal lobe. And that's programmed by the cerebellum. So you literally can reprogram that frontal lobe based on body posture, volume, intonation, and breathing. And this is that neurolinguistic programming. Amazing. It works fantastic. If you know that connecting, and this is going to be the new definition of feeling, it's your conscious awareness of a chemical process production or of neuronal firings. The body is a massive energy that is the expression of your consistent chemical production and neuronal firings. I mean, it's exciting if you start to decipher your emotions as they are adapting to the consequence of needs getting met, and I'm talking the need of being heard, being understood, or the needs not being met. And learning is repetition, and learning and repetition is reprogramming. So reprogramming your subconscious, which is making new neuronal connections for a new chemical production for the same environmental stimulus. Whatever you hold in your mind will tend to occur in your life. If you continue to believe as you've always believed, you continue to act as you've always acted. If you continue to act the way you've always acted, you will continue to get what you've always gotten. So if you want different results in your life and your work, all you have to do is change your mind. It seems too simple, but this is why daily prayer, meditation, neurolinguistic programming, affirmations, the I am statement, emotional freedom technique, DeMartini method. There's so many avenues out there, and we're going to cover all this tonight, okay, and more. Mastering your emotional state can reprogram your mind. This is the evolution of healthcare. People will be talking about physical, chemical, emotional stressors. This is Dr. John Bergman, your voice of reason. And the dawn before the renaissance, and we are going to have a renaissance. Hopefully it'll be within my lifetime. But people are waking up. God bless you, and I love you.